Joining us now is Gustavo Oliveira. He's a protester in Oakland, California, where, as we've been reporting all morning, protesters managed to shut down the second shift, the evening shift, at the port of Oakland. Also, there were clashes with police this morning and mostly peaceful demonstrations yesterday. Gustavo, good morning.
Good morning, John.
The call for a general strike in Oakland was heeded by some, but not a majority of businesses in Oakland. Are we seeing some of the limitations and a possible division among people who are with the protesters in Oakland and people who are not?
Not at all, John. Not at all. This general strike was a huge success. We knew not everyone could make it out of work with 1 week's notice. This was a warning shot. This was for us to show that we can turn out dozens of thousands of people on the street. And we did shut down the port, which was the main objective. And we continue to take other actions, such as we said on the press conference on this Monday about the general strike. We are reoccupying also places in our communities, places of work, places of living. And this is the success. There is no division. The people of Oakland are more united now than ever before, and we are pushing this further on and making this also an example that all the other cities in this country and the world can follow.
Gustavo Oliveira is one of the protesters in Oakland, California. How much of the shutdown of the Port of Oakland was due to coercion by the demonstrators and just solidarity between the union workers at the port?
It was solidarity from the very beginning. The ILWU, the Union of the Longshoremen, have been active participants in the Occupy Oakland movement. They were there in the General Assembly when we voted for the strike. They were there telling us they would be with us, and they were there with us when we were planning to march on the port from the very beginning. This was always a unified solidarity action between the longshoremen, the people of Occupy Oakland, the people of Oakland more broadly, and all the other unions that did show up today, even if they couldn't legally strike.
Gustavo Oliveira, protester in Oakland, California. Can you distinguish what's been going on in the last 48 hours with the protests that we saw earlier this year against police violence for an incident on the BART train and what happened in court? Because there have been a lot of protests in Oakland confronting authorities for all kinds of reasons. Gustavo?
There's been a long history of police brutality, police abuse, and even murder of people of Oakland. And this has given us a very critical perspective on the role of the police in our cities and on the role of the state. And this is why Oakland is the city in which we are ready and willing to go back, and after we get kicked out and our camp gets destroyed, to reoccupy Oscar Grant Plaza, named after the man who was shot by the police in 2009, and to then go and do even further, do this general strike, shut down the port, and like I was telling you, also reoccupying buildings which used to provide service for homeless people. But because of government cuts, those without the funds, that service agency was foreclosed.
Indeed.
And buildings set empty and vacant until tonight we reoccupied it.
Gustavo Oliveira, a voice from Oakland, California, one of the protesters. And there's been some solidarity between the protesters in Oakland, California, and some here in New York. Arun Venugopal, reporter for our co-producer WNYC, has been talking about that solidarity.
Well, definitely there's been more and more, I guess, integration between the groups. You have people who I've met earlier on in the New York protests who have gone out there to Oakland to sort of help with that cause. Yesterday, they wire transferred $20,000 from New York City to Oakland to help them reestablish their movement. They have a lot of money here in New York, and they're trying to figure out what to do with that, and that's one thing they thought they could do responsibly. I think this is sort of part of, I guess, the nationalization of this movement, whereas you had earlier these disparate local protests. Now you have sort of more and more a feeling that they're all in this together. So in the next month or so, you're going to see more of that.
So, Arun, you know, you say nationalized, but from the perspective of, say, someone in the heartland looking at this story, they may just see Oakland and New York as two relatively fringy urban areas which have a lot of protesters but don't necessarily generalize to all of the United States. What would protesters say about that?
Well, I think that it is early in the game, and I think that they are kind of going where the energy is. Clearly, in Oakland, there is a very strong sentiment about this. I know in other cities that are even bigger than Oakland, there's been, less activism, and people are sort of not quite rising up to the same level as people in New York City and Oakland are. But I think what they're probably going to do is you're going to have cities planning these kinds of direct actions, big events that grab the headlines, and that might involve having people from, say, New York City or Oakland or other cities going to where the action is going to be and making it interesting and trying to get that attention.
Well, the attention is one thing. You know, it was interesting. The folks in Oakland called for a general strike in that city, which didn't materialize. You know, the pause may be in momentum in terms of numbers and the sorts of headlines. And again, you know, it's hard to measure this. It is the early going. But you've been reporting on this from the very, very beginning. There is an accelerating sense, and we're getting it in the responses we're getting from listeners here, of things are out of our control in a certain sense. Look at the G20 summit right now, where even President Obama doesn't have a lot of influence over the situation in Greece and the whole Eurozone debt crisis, which has been swaying the markets over here in the United States. Is there a sense among the protesters that so much of the economic issues that matter to them are really out of their control on some level globally?
Well, I think that they do think that there are people who are, say, at the top as they see it, who have played a role in this, and you might say that, you know, the U.S. doesn't have as much direct control over what's happening with the G20 and what's happening in Greece. They do think that, say, the financial sector. Basically was responsible for what's happening, the reverberations that are going around the world. And they are also just trying to give a face to the sense of, disenfranchisement and basically being kind of cut off from, the decision-making process, and they're trying to reestablish that. And so I think they're also, what's happening now is what couldn't have happened prior to social media is this sense that they're all in together. Youth in New York City are clearly having an impact on people in other parts of the world, just as they themselves were impacted by people in Cairo and other countries with their protests.
Thanks to Arun Venugopal, reporter for our co-producer, WNYC.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.